This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back to Now with Dave Brown on AMI. The last month across British Columbia has been tremendously difficult with storms to floods, mudslides. Even now, as highways are reopening and some people are able to return home to their community, there are people across the interior of the province that have been displaced for months. The wildfires in June and July have made it impossible for people to return home, and the storms last month only further displaced them. The human impact is unimaginable unless you've lived it. Edith Loring-Kuinga is a Lytton BC community member and joins us now to share her experience. Edith, thank you so much for making time to be with us today. We're so appreciative.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Edith, I wonder if you can give me a sense of what the last 6 months have been like for you. How have you been able to cope with being displaced?
Well, it's been very, very difficult, extremely difficult. People have been moved from location to location, and even with the hotels, when we were first evacuated, we were told to head up to the Stein Valley School, where I'm the school administrator, and from there we were evacuated a few hours later to Lillooet. And we spent one night in Lillooet, and then we were evacuated to Langley, and people were displaced all over at this point. They were, sent to Merritt, to Kamloops, to Cache Creek, to Chilliwack, to Abbotsford, to Langley, to Surrey. And so everybody was completely all over the place. And then over the next few weeks, people started being moved because of summer season, and the hotels were getting really busy. And so people were being shuffled from hotel to hotel. And when people first left, a lot of them were not with their families. And so they were trying to also connect with their families. And so we're trying to relocate so they could be closer to families. And then just as people started to settle in, and then of course the floods happened and the rains and the washouts and the mudslides, and again, people that were, thought that they were going to spend the winter in their hotel or wherever they were put, were now displaced again. And so it's been very, very traumatic for people. And, I particularly worry about our kids, many of our kids that are really struggling. I also worry about a lot of our downtown village of Lytton and our elders, our seniors. A lot of the downtown village of Lytton residents were predominantly an older population. And the village of Lytton was basically completely burned out. And so I worry about them. I worry about what the winter is going to be like for them.
It really feels like there's a disconnection that happens there, especially for small communities in places like the interior. The community fabric is so important. And when people get scattered like that to places like Merritt and Abbotsford, and then get scattered again out to Langley and all over the province, how hard is it for those community members to keep in touch as they're trying to think about what rebuilding looks like, what the next steps look like?
Extremely difficult. And also we have to remember we're living in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, so people are scattered all over, and we've certainly seen that people who have went back home to Lytton, who have their homes still standing, we've seen an increase of COVID cases in our community with people who've moved back from the city back into Lytton. And so it's really difficult. And you know, many of our families are large families, right? And a lot of families have multi-generations living in one house. So they might have grandma and grandpa and, you know, a few of their sons and daughters and their children. So, you know, so to have them scattered all over because they couldn't live in the hotel together. So we have granny and grandpa in this hotel in Merritt and a son and his wife and their children in Cache Creek, and then the daughter and her family in Kamloops. So the whole idea, like, of the displacement of the family has been really, really difficult on some of the families, and also just way of life and food. Right. I mean, a lot of our people in Lytton, we were hunters and gatherers, but we did a lot of gardening and a lot of preserving of our foods. So like for myself, I lost 40 cases of canned goods in the fire. So all of my fruits and vegetables and all my freezer, all gone. And so not only are you displaced, but your food, what you're eating, the people that you're used to being around, and you're in the city in comparison to a small little town. So it's been very traumatic on a lot of people.
You mentioned the role you have, the importance of education, the work you do in the community on that front, and you mentioned the concerns you have for kids. I'm curious, when you're talking to parents and even talking to youngsters, what they're expressing to you when you get a chance to connect about, as you say, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Last year was a bizarre year, and now they're going through this year of displacement. What are parents and kids telling you when you get a chance to connect with them?
Well, our kids, all of our kids are online. For our school, our board of directors chose not to return to in-class instruction because a lot of our people were still scattered in hotels all over. And also, we didn't want to encourage people to move back home if their homes weren't suitable to live in. And the band, Lytton First Nations, had an evacuation order, which is still on today. They have not lifted their evacuation order because there are absolutely no emergency services in town. And so all of our students are doing online learning. And online learning is hard for anybody. But for our small community, our small school, our kids love coming to school. I mean, when we have breaks, we operate on a 12-month calendar. And so we go to school for 10 weeks and we're off for three, and 10 weeks and off for three. And it's based on the cultural semester. So our whole entire school year is based on the culture of the community. And so our kids are really struggling. They're having a hard time because they're not seeing their family. They're not seeing their friends, and they're not seeing the routine, right? Because they're constantly being in an upheaval and moving from place to place. So so I really worry about the emotional trauma that it's putting on our kids. And you know, this is our third year that our school year has been disrupted. And luckily last year we returned to school. We were the very first school in Canada to open the doors after the pandemic. And we had a very, very successful year. And so, you know, so considering that, but still, our kids want to be back in school. And then we were hoping to come back on November 29th, at least for the last 3 weeks of the of this calendar year, but we're unable to because of the roads washouts and all of the roads closed. And so now we've postponed the returning to in-class instruction until January, and we're hoping and praying that the roads are going to be cleared up and that there isn't any future, you know, at least within the next while, a further trauma and devastation to our community.
Edith, I know after the fires, there was some jurisdictional wrangling between the federal government, the provincial government, in regards to what kind of support they were doing, what kind of investigations they were doing in regards to the cause of the fire and getting people back into the community. As time has moved forward and with the development of the storms and the mudslides and the washouts last month, how has the support been from various levels of government?
Well, you know, I started holding a virtual chat in September for our residents because we didn't have anything. We were not brought together at all. And I'm talking about the village of Lytton residents. And so our mayor and council, there was very little communication with us. So I started holding a virtual chat just so that we could kind of get together and support one another. And I can tell you that the first few Zoom meetings that we had, there was a lot of tears and frustration and anger shed. And then we realized that if we really wanted to help, because we do have a small mayor and council, we have one mayor and four councillors and a vacant seat. And so that we needed to be part of the solution rather than just adding to the problem. And so we started organizing ourselves and offering helpful suggestions and going to the council meetings and saying, you know, this is what we can do. We can help. We want to help. And finally, the council has heard us. They've established a community advisory committee that is made up of community members and represents our community. And so we're finally starting to see some leadway. And we've certainly put pressure on government. The provincial government, I think, was very slow to act. I mean, if you really think about Lytton, we're now 6 months since the disaster, since the fire, and we're finally getting things together. We're finally getting downtown Lytton cleaned up, like 6 months later. And I really believe that the province and the feds were very slow to act. They were not coordinated. There was definitely a lot of issues over jurisdiction between the municipality, the regional district, the province, the feds, and the local First Nations. So, you know, I just hope and pray that the people that they now have in, because government, the province has stepped in finally about 6 weeks ago, just before the floods, and put in some staffing to support the village of Lytton. And so we now have started to see a little bit of progress.
Beyond government, I know a lot of people were really racked by what they saw on the screens over the course of the entire year since the wildfires, but the flooding drove it home once again. How can people be supportive? What can people do to reach out and help community members who continue to be dealing with the ongoing crisis?
I think just continuously putting pressure on government, it's deplorable. It's disgraceful that it's taken the province this long to actually act and put in resources and support. I mean, we finally have a resiliency center in Lytton that was put in last week. Like, seriously? And resiliency centers in the floods were put up within the week. And here we are almost 6 months later, and they finally have put in a resilience center in the community. So I think that, you know, the public has every right to be outraged, and, you know, and they need to put pressure on government, on provincial and federal governments. All we've really heard from the federal government is when Prime Minister Trudeau attended the Climate Action Conference and said, you know, there was a town called Lytton, and that outraged Lyttonites. And the reason why is because the structures and everything burned, but the people still want to go back home. Mm. The people are still there. The people want to move back home. And so, you know, we were disgusted that and for him to raise it without even at an international forum, without even reaching out to us, Lyttonites was disgraceful.
Edith, I know it's been an incredibly difficult 6 months, and I know it can't be easy to talk about it, but I thank you so much for making time to be with us today and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.